have to wait for the top of the hour. You can listen to the news anytime by logging on to usaradio.com. For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King. The traffic stuck.
Max Living, brought to you by the Max Challenge of Clinton, New Jersey. Join me, your host, Mark LaRose, every Wednesday at 1 p.m. right here on 100 in Chamber Radio. I'll be discussing important health and fitness subjects, featuring guests and success stories. We are here to help motivate you. It's a beautiful day.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on 100 in Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@100in-chamber.org.
On today's program, I'll be talking about why optimism is an essential part of leadership. I'll answer a question from a listener about how to handle a certain type of customer. I'll also be discussing the merits of a shorter work week. I'll have 10 ways to attract the more diverse applicant pool, and I'll explain how to prioritize bills when cash flow is tight. It's Thursday, November 21st, 2019, and I'll have all that and more right now on Taking Care of Business. I've been taking care of business every day, taking care of business. Well, good afternoon, everybody. My name is Jim Gannot, and this program is called Taking Care of Business. And for the next hour, we're going to talk about issues affecting businesses large and small here in the borough of Flemington in beautiful Hunterdon County, New Jersey, and on the national scene as well. Before we do that, we always check the weather. Brief check of the weather shows the temperature is currently 48 degrees at 12:05. The forecast shows that today it'll be mostly sunny with some clouds, a high of 53 and a low of 40. For tomorrow, it'll be cloudy with a slight chance of a rain shower, a high of 55 and a low of 27. For Saturday, it'll be partly cloudy with rain expected in the evening, a high of 47 and a low of 35. For Sunday, we're going to have showers in the morning followed by a late day sun, a high of 46 and a low of 29 degrees. And a current check of the financial market shows the Dow Jones Industrial Average is down 92.68 to 27,728.41. The NASDAQ down 33.71 to 8,493.02. S&P 500 is down 9.85 to 3,098.55. Oil is up $1.10 to $58.01 per barrel. And gold is down $5.90 to $1,468.30 an ounce. Well, again, I'd like to thank you for joining me. Every Thursday at this time, we get together and talk business for about an hour. The program is called Taking Care of Business with Jim Gannot. So glad you could join me. Glad to be here. A little over 8 years now that we've been broadcasting here at Hunterdon Chamber Radio, the only Chamber of Commerce-owned radio station in the United States. And what a great service it is, particularly with the types of hosts that we have, because you have folks in the business sector, folks in counseling, law, we have accountants, and I think there's something for everybody here. And I recommend that you go to our website, 100inchamberradio.org, and check us out, and or .com, and make sure that you know you find the programs that best interest you. You might need help from a lawyer. You might need help from home improvement. You might need help from, you know, accountants or something like that. There's probably somebody here who can help you that has a program. So check them out and find one that you like. And then I'm a strong believer in everybody has something that they can share. So if you have a business or if you're in a certain profession and you don't see it on our website, then give the Chamber a call at 908-782-7115. Ask to speak to Chris and see how you can end up airing your own show every week to share your knowledge with some of our listeners. And I think you would find that it's definitely something that is needed and that I think people will benefit from. So hopefully that's something that you'll consider for 2020. Now, speaking of 2020, it is right around the corner. And as I'm starting to talk to some of the people that I've been consulting with, they're not even thinking about it yet. And that's a dangerous play. So I want you to start thinking about 2020. We're at the end of November. Next week we have Thanksgiving. Before you know it, we'll all be in that Christmas rush. And it's you don't want to start thinking about 2020 on December 31st. You want to be thinking about it now. What are your marketing goals? What are your sales goals? Do you have equipment purchases you're looking to do? Do you need to hire another person? If so, is it by quarter one, quarter two, quarter three? This is the time of year when you want to start sitting down, take some time out for yourself at home or do it at work, and just start jotting down random thoughts. What do you want 2020 to look like? Because it really should have started a couple of months ago, but you know, because you're hearing this today, it starts today. You have to start planning. So on your next lunch hour, bring a notepad with you and just start sketching out some random thoughts as to what you want to accomplish in 2020. You're going to find that the well-prepared mind, the well-prepared business person is more than likely better adept at reaching those goals. All right, it's time for the business quote of the week. It's brought to you each week at this time by Crown Trophy of Flemington. And this can come from anybody. It can come from a celebrity. It could come from a motivational speaker. It could come from a religious leader, a sports hero. This is a quote from a very famous author. He wrote the book Success Through a Positive Mental Attitude, which if you're in business, I highly recommend that you read. And he also wrote the book Think and Grow Rich. And obviously, I'm speaking about Napoleon Hill. And he said, the number one reason people fail in life is because they listen to their friends, family, and neighbors. Stop the presses, folks. This is what I want you to really hone in on, because there was, I think Stedman Graham said it in his talk an evening with about leadership 2 weeks ago when he was at Huntington Central. Listen to that quote one more time. The number one reason that people fail in life is because they listen to their friends, their family, and their neighbors. So when you tell a family member that you're about to embark on a new task or a new project, and they say, oh, you can't do that, you know, then people will start to believe they can't do that. My wife is guilty of this completely. So a couple of years ago, my son bought a house. I don't call it a fixer-upper. I call it a knocker-downer. But, you know, helping him, we were able to rebuild the house in about 6-7 months, and then they moved in. And all throughout the process, whether it was flooring, cabinetry, framing, or something like that, my wife kept saying, you don't know how to do that. You don't know how to do that. Well, I knew how to do it. And what I didn't know, somebody on YouTube knew. And so Brandon would watch the videos and then apply it into practice. You know, I had never used a pneumatic nailer before. Now he bought a pneumatic nailer. I better learn quick how to use it. Had we listened to her, he may not have ever moved into this house. And even when I started my business, I remember clearly a friend of ours was having a holiday Christmas party. The day was December 18th of 2008. And I had given my notice at work, and the boss came to me and he said, look, it doesn't make sense for you to work the next 2 weeks because you won't be able to complete the deals. Why don't we just part ways today? And I was like, okay. So I left. We go to the holiday party, and people are saying, you know, typical cocktail hour talk, you know, how's business? And I said, well, funny you should mention that. I quit today, and I'm going to be opening up a trophy store, a franchise in Flemington, probably in about the next 2 months. We had a target date of March 1st. And you would have thought that my neighbors and my friends were ready to have an intervention. How can you do this? The economy's not great. Think about your family. You know, you don't want to lose your house. And I was like, guys, I believe in me. And, you know, so I know I've done the research on the organization. I know what my skills are. I'll get this done. And here we are 10 years later, and we're still, you know, doing fine. I saw an interesting quote last night from Sharon Mon. Now, I had an opportunity to meet Sharon just a few weeks ago at the Operation Jersey Cares gala. And she's a very influential person in New York City. She is one of those go-getters. And if you follow her on Facebook, you'll find very quickly Sharon's in New York, Sharon's in Atlantic City, Sharon's in Cleveland. She's all over the map. And, you know, she has a consulting firm doing very well with that. But she had a quote last night that I think totally speaks to me. So we're going to give you two business quotes of the week. This one I want you to write down. This one is one that I want you to be thinking about and put it in the back of your mind so that if anybody ever puts you in a corner, this is the motivation to get you back out. And her quote was, if you feed me to the wolves, I'll come back as the leader of the pack. Think about that for just a minute, how powerful that is. If you feed me to the wolves, I'll come back as the leader of the pack. I loved it when I saw it. I still love it. And I've mentioned it to a couple of people that I've already talked to today. Is that your personality? You know, when you say we're going to feed you to the wolves, that's like we're sending you into the worst place imaginable, you're destined for failure there. These people are going to eat you up. You know, you figure if it's a pack of wolves, they're just going to tear you apart. And I liked the quote because it said, you know, if you feed me to the wolves, I'm coming back as the leader of the pack, because you're not going to back down to those wolves. How empowering is that statement? So think about that. Write that one down. And then think about the other one that we started with from Napoleon Hill. The number one reason people fail in life is because they listen to their friends, family, and neighbors. Friends, family, and neighbors all have good intentions when they give you advice. And there's a couple of great quotes on receiving advice. But I would warn you, once you've set that course, set that path, don't let anybody get in your way. You chart the course. And again, as we talked about in that other quote, if someone feeds you to the wolves, come back as the leader of the pack. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. I'm going to step away for a quick break and we'll come back. We've got more for you on a jam-packed hour of Taking Care of Business.
Hello, this is Nicole Smith, host of Happy to Help. Would you like to discover the secret to happiness? I talk to volunteers, executive directors, fundraisers, and authors about how nonprofit engagement enriches their lives. We thrive when we have a sense of purpose in our lives. Philanthropy is the new community. Tune in to Happy to Help every Wednesday at 10 a.m. to discover how to find your purpose and live well by doing good.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all right. Taking care of business and working overtime for help.
This is Stephen Graham, and you're listening to Taking Care of Business with Jim Canoe on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com.
Thank you, Stadium. This is Jim Canoe, and you're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. So glad you could join me on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. It is beautiful. It's 48 degrees. The sun is shining. What's not to be good about that? Well, in the preview to the show, I mentioned that in order to be a good leader, it's important that you have a certain sense of optimism. And as we get into the story, you'll hear why. But a lot of times when you're the leader of a company, you're staff, your crew, et cetera, they kind of take their cues from you. And, you know, if you're a pessimist, if you're the dark cloud type person where, you know, it's always negative, your staff is going to adopt that mentality as well. So it's going to kind of drag the whole organization down. However, if you have that optimistic sense about you, then chances are they're going to want to do whatever it takes to follow you, and they see that everything is better than it appears. So being an optimistic leader doesn't mean rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. It's part of effective leadership, according to experts. Now, if you're curious about what drives effective leadership in today's business world, according to the Global Leadership Forecast for 2018, a survey of over 25,000 leaders across 2,400 organizations, companies that exhibit purpose-driven leadership, said that it's a significant performance premium. That performance premium is a hot commodity in environments where disruption permeates daily business operations. That's why leaders in those constantly disrupted organizations know that they need to be optimistic leaders. Optimism plays a crucial role in keeping teams motivated and on track towards a company's stated purpose. Let's have a look at why being optimistic is vital for leaders in organizations that want to use disruption to their long-term advantage. Now, what leaders get wrong about optimism? Kate O'Neill, the founder and CEO of KO Insights, spends her days advising corporate and cultural leaders on the impact of the human experiences in an increasingly tech and data-driven world. In her experience, the word optimism often sows misconceptions. Now, people often seem to think optimism can only exist in the absence of any sensibility or pragmatism about the present or future, she says. But in fact, I think optimism works best as part of a balanced set of tools. I've jokingly called it hope as a service. Now, for O'Neill, optimism isn't about a smile through the storm approach. Instead, optimist leaders envision a way forward for their company that draws from its purpose and keeps team members connected to that purpose, even when patience wears thin and times are lean. Jessica Pettit, who's a consultant and speaker specializing in corporate diversity and inclusion training, finds that folks stumble in thinking of optimism as a soft, fluffy skill. Being optimistic about our collective struggles is hard work that takes patience and grit, says Pettit. Optimism is the fuel that keeps the grimy work working. Now, is optimism important for leadership? According to the Global Leadership Forecast, purposeful organizations with active leadership support were most likely to achieve exceptional results in the marketplace. These active leaders aren't rousing the troops using demeaning language and doomsday scenarios. Instead, they're finding ways to align an entire company culture behind a common goal, a goal they see as not just possible, but probable, given the data and tools at their disposal. Now, without the benefit of an optimistic outlook, it might be possible to recognize the severity of the company's situation, but not be able to imagine a future where the company has found new relevance, says O'Neill. From Pettit's perspective, optimism is a critical component in effective leadership. It's a useful measuring tool for possibility. As a leader, Pettit has to notice when I'm getting cranky or worse, toxic, because that directly impacts those around me. And again, if you walk in the office, head down, furrowed brow, you know, get into your office and shut the door, it usually sends shockwaves through the employee pool because they're like, oh boy, boss is mad today. It's going to be a bad day. Versus, and I'm not saying you have to whistle while you work, but if you come in, even regardless of what's bothering you, if you come in and you show optimism, you show a positive mental attitude, then it doesn't affect the trickle-down staff as much. So when the going gets tough, Pettit relies on getting optimistic. And using optimism as a measuring tool, I can get back to work, try to recognize what is possible when I'm staring what seems impossible in the face, she says. If leaders can make the optimistic shift of finding the possible in the face of the impossible, imagine the effect that that practice can have on a company-wide culture. Infusing optimism into effective leadership practices and wondering how being optimistic could lead to effective leadership? O'Neill and Pettit have tips on how to infuse optimism into daily management practices. The first they say is to get perspective. Now, when you're feeling overwhelmed, make a note of what is actually in front of you. Sometimes there is less than you thought, says Pettit. All of the monsters under your bed fit on a sticky note. Perspective fuels optimism. Have teams talk about best-case planning. Many teams use worst-case scenario planning to deal with the unknowns, but both of these approaches together present the fullest picture on your range of possibilities, says O'Neill. If you're not planning for the best case, you may miss opportunities to scale when a market alignment hits. Make to-done lists instead of to-do lists. Rarely do we write a success list. We focus on the failures, says Pettit. So make a list of the successes, the big wins, the celebrations you have achieved over the course of your life in no particular order. No one will look at any of these lists, she continues. This is all about you gaining or regaining your optimistic perspective on leadership. I like this to be done in two ways. The first they talk about is your personal to-done list, what you've accomplished already, whether it's graduating high school, graduating college, getting any licenses or certifications you may need, getting married, having children, whatever you consider to be your wins, your to-done list, put those on a list of paper that you can refer back to so that you can look back and say, you know what, I've done this, 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 I can handle this over here. Also, don't be afraid to make a to-done list at work to show your staff, this is what I'm proud of, this is what we've accomplished, this is what we've done. We handled that big project, we shipped that big order on time, complete. When I had the A-team come in this summer, the four boys that are special needs students to work on our pinwheel project, the school put out a press release, and in that quote, I said, we were able to get the job done and finish it a day early. As many people complimented me on hiring handicapped kids, they were more proud of the fact that the kids were able to get the job done on time, on budget, without any additional overtime or anything else. They were so proud of those kids for getting it done. So that's a to-done. That's a win. Let's put that up on the board. And when your staff looks and they look back and they say, 50,000 pieces shipped, and they have a new order for 25,000, well, that should be easy, providing we have all the components. So, and then add that to the list when it's done. Anything that's big for the department, for the company that you have a role in, throw that in your to-done list and share it with your staff. And you want to cultivate optimism from the ground up. Now, why is optimism important in leadership? Because it can be contagious when it's built from the ground up. I think optimism works best as part of a balanced set of tools. I've jokingly called it the hope of service. Hope as a service, she says. Encourage people to bring their optimism to their work, to seek better results from themselves and from the company, to contribute their best ideas. So don't, when they talked about the worst case scenario, flip it and say, what's the best case scenario? What's the win? What's the best outcome we can possibly have? And you'll notice that the balance, the scales, suddenly start moving. We've talked about the worst case, worst case, worst case, and all of a sudden when we start bringing in best case, best case, best case, it levels out. Redefine optimism. Optimism isn't being obstacle-free, surrounded by individuals you love. It's doing the best you can with what you have some of the time, says Pettit. That is good enough to get started instead of killing the spirit of an opportunity. People who practice effective leadership understand why being optimistic is important. It's the key that can turn a company with a stated purpose into a purposeful company. One where the entire organization dares to ask, what's possible? And then taps the power of data, talent, and resources to turn those possibilities into probabilities. So, again, I have always been a optimistic person. Years ago, I was in a service organization called the Optimist Club of Bridgewater and Raritan. And it's just a mentality that I've had my whole life that, you know, guides me. And sure, things can knock you down and kick you around and everything, but when you look at it from a different lens, suddenly things aren't as bad as they seem. Let's talk about our good friends at the IRS. They're announcing that new 401k contribution limits for 2020. So anybody that has a 401k, and again, after the stories I've read to you this year about 44% of Americans not having anything saved for retirement. The next batch, I think, was 22% said they have $10,000 saved for retirement. That's going to last you about 2 weeks. I don't care what your age is, whether you're in your 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, or 60s, get with a financial planner. Take any money you have, take a portion out of your paycheck, and start a 401k now so that you do have something at some point later in life. So the IRS has announced their new contribution limits, and as employers are in the midst of open enrollment, the IRS announced recently important information for the 2020 plan year. Employees can contribute up to $19,500 in 401k contributions for 2020, which is an increase of $500, while the combined employer and employee contribution limit rises by $1,000 to $57,000. For participants ages 50 and over, the additional catch-up contribution limit will increase to $6,500, which is also up by $500. Human resources and payroll managers should adjust their systems for the new year and inform employees about the new limits in year-end open enrollment materials. Because the IRS announced the 2020 contribution changes so late this year, many plan sponsors will need to provide addendums to benefits materials that have already been printed for 2020 benefits open enrollment period. So, again, I can't stress this enough, and I've talked to so many people that don't have money saved, or there have been issues in their life that meant that they had to already tap into 401ks, or that they had to, you know, tap into their savings, whether it's job loss or, you know, death in the family or something like that, where or taking care of a parent or an ill child. Start today, you know. Look at your paycheck and figure out what you can invest right now in any kind of 401k. Talk to a financial planner, talk to your bank, even an IRA, anything you can do to invest in your future, please start doing it today. It scares the living daylights out of me when I talk to people in their 50s and they have no money saved because there's really no end game. I talked to one couple. And they've depleted their savings. They probably have $5,000 or $6,000 in the bank. They've blown through, not blown through, but they used up inheritance that they've gotten from both parents. I think there's one or two living grandparents on the other side, but there's not going to be a big inheritance there that you can speak of. So it literally means you're going to be working until you die, because you won't be able to afford to retire, and most people won't be able to afford to live solely off of Social Security. So, you know, again, I implore you, it's time to get serious. When you're in your 40s, 50s about your future, it's time to start talking with the financial professionals and getting invested in your future. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. We're going to take a quick news break. When we come back, it's mailbag time. We have a letter from a listener up in Boston that has a question about a particular client. Maybe it affects you as well. We'll be right back.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Another public hearing held in the impeachment inquiry into President Trump and some dealings he had with Ukraine. One of the witnesses this morning, Fiona Hill, a former Security Council official. In her opening statement, she talks about the idea of withholding foreign aid money as a way to exert pressure on a nation, which Democrats allege the president did with Ukraine.
If the president or anyone else impedes or subverts the national security of the United States in order to further domestic, political, or personal interests, that's more than worthy of your attention. But we must not let domestic politics stop us from defending ourselves against the foreign powers who truly wish us harm.
A lockdown at Joint Base San Antonio's Camp Bullis this morning has been lifted. There is no clear information on what happened, but they do say a suspect's in custody. And this is USA Radio News.
Does your business spend $500 a month or more on gas and electric bills? Did you know by making a simple free phone call, you can save up to 25% on your bill every month? What could you do with a 25% savings on utility bills every month? Energy deregulation is now available in your state. Making one simple phone call will show you how we can lower your gas and electric bills instantly, with no changes to your bill and no enrollment fee. This is a free service. The only thing you'll notice is a lower bill every month. Call U.S. Power and Light right now. Learn how easy it is to lower your utility bills for your business and save money. We promise. So if you spend over $500 a month on your gas and electric bills, please call right now and unleash your savings.
800-941-3381. 800-941-3381. 800-941-3381. That's 800-941-3381.
And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. Taking care of business, it's all mine. Taking care of business, and working overtime will help.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. So glad you could join us. We're also on WHCRDB. So if you're out in your car with a digital player, by all means, you can tune us in there. You never have to be without Huntington Chamber Radio. It's a great thing. So getting back to the program, I wanted to talk to you for a minute. We got a letter. I got an email from a listener a couple of weeks ago, and I wasn't sure how I wanted to handle this. And I called around to a couple of people that I admire in business and just said, you know, what do you think? Here's the answer I'm preparing. Does this coincide with how you handle the situation? So John is a listener up in Boston, and he asks, what do I do when a client tells me I need it tomorrow? Now, there are situations where a rush order is going to be really necessary, but more often than not, the client's need for the rush is not nearly as critical as they would have you believe. So to weed out the I want it now from the I need it now clients, you can try implementing a rush fee policy. Charge them a fee to guarantee a quick turnaround. Now, I've seen this fee range anywhere from $10 to $50 to a certain percentage of the order, depending on the size and nature of the order, for the people that really do need it. Now, the fee is usually not an issue. For the people that want it done now but do not need it done now, this fee backs them down to work on a more reasonable time frame. So how does that apply in your business? Now, for me, a lot of times I have customers that, you know, football leagues, for instance, where they play games every weekend and they're practicing every night and they just don't have time to think about awards. And I always tell them, your rosters are set. You know exactly how many people are going to get awards. Or if you're having a tournament, you know exactly how many people are participating, how many people would need awards. Why can't I get that information in advance? Why can't I get you to sit down for 15 minutes, look at our website, look at our catalog, and make that determination? So, and sometimes I will tell you not to put on a rush charge because I'd rather see you develop a relationship, be the hero, pull out your cape, and get the order done on time than charging them extra. You know, yes, you make a little extra money, but what was the impact overall to your organization? If you came to me in April, May, or June during our heaviest busy season and you needed it now, there's a good chance I have to tack on a rush charge because somebody's working overtime that night, and it's also pushing our production schedule back a little further to complete your order. We had one gentleman from a large pharmaceutical company one time that needed 33 plaques by 5:30 in the afternoon delivered to Princeton. When did he call us? 2:30 in the afternoon. That gave us 2 hours to get these plaques done and delivered down to Princeton. We did it. We got it done. But in the meantime, I now had to pay an employee to drive to Princeton, drive back, so now we're on overtime, and it interrupted the rest of our workflow for that day. Since then, though, we've gotten a lot of work from J&J, and I would probably do it again the next time around. So, John, I hope that helps you with regards to what do you do when I need it now. The other thing you can do that's very important is educate your customers. And a lot of businesses don't spend time doing this, but let them know the process. From the time the order is taken in standard time, how long does it take to produce an order? So when somebody says, I'm having an event, I need awards, you know, how fast can you turn them around? I stop the presses and I say, when do you plan on handing these out? And they'll say, well, not until January 15th. Plenty of time, don't worry about it. But if they tell me they're planning on handing them out tomorrow night, now we've got a really, or next Tuesday, we've really got to think, how do we get the material here from our vendors? How are we going to schedule time to engrave it, get proofs done and approved and things like that? So work with them, but keep letting people know what your process is so that they can fall within the normal parameters. All right, I want to talk to you for a minute because this is a question that is coming up a lot, and it's about cash flow. And if you listen to this program for a long time, you'll know that a lot of times – you provide a service, but you're, let's say, working on a purchase order or you're working with a customer that you've known for years. And so net 30 terms suddenly become net 45, net 60, net 90 or plus. And a lot of your vendor, a lot of your customers are now saying, our policy is net 60. Will you work with that? A lot of businesses will say, yes, I will, just because they want the work. I won't. I'll say net 30 is the term. Why should we create a whole different level of payment terms unless, you know, we're going to get paid? And some people say, well, it's a good client. It's good money. And, you know, in the meantime, when you order material, you have to pay it back within 30 days. Why should they get an additional 30? So how do you prioritize your bills when cash flow is tight? Now, when your business is struggling with cash flow, and don't lie to me because every business at some point does struggle with cash flow, balancing your bill payments can be a juggling act. So here are a few things to consider when deciding which bills to pay first. Now, managing your business bills can be a huge juggling act. And while ideally you'd pay everything on time, sometimes cash flow doesn't cooperate and you need to miss a deadline. When you're in this situation, it's crucial to know how to prioritize bills between those you absolutely can't miss versus others that have a bit more wiggle room. So here's how to maneuver in that tough situation. You want to pay your top priority bills. When cash flow is tight, focus on covering these bills before anything else. The next one is taxes. Payroll, sales, and income taxes all should be sent in by their deadlines. If you don't, the IRS and state tax collection agencies could charge penalties and interest, place a lien against your property, and garnish your wages. You can even face criminal charges for not covering payroll taxes. Then let's talk about payroll. If your employees wake up without their money on payday, it's going to be brutal for workplace morale. Even if you catch up soon after, your top workers may already be looking for a more reliable source of income. And some states charge a penalty when businesses are late on payroll. Secured debt is backed up with your property, like equipment or a vehicle. If you miss the loan payments, the lender could seize that asset and leave your business unable to operate. Rent and utilities. If you miss your utility bills like electricity, internet, and heat, those services could get shut off, which sure wouldn't help your workplace productivity. And if you rent, lease, or space, missing that payment could lead to eviction. For those times business growth goes beyond your credit limit, find business funding that works within your means. There's also overdue debt. The further behind you are in a bill payment, the more damage it does to your credit score. Once you're a few months late, the creditor may also send your account to collections or take you to court. When someone will take these steps depends on the creditor, but the longer you wait, the more likely they are to take more serious action. So don't let it get to this point. If you're about to miss a payment, reach out to your creditors and let them know you're having trouble with your deadlines. Most will work with you. Let's talk about key vendors for a minute. If you absolutely depend on certain vendors to keep your business running, make them happy by paying their bills on time. Otherwise, they could limit the size of future orders, demand stricter payment terms, or cut you off altogether. Lower priority bills. While you should try to pay all your bills on time, the consequences from missing these payments can be less severe. If invoices aren't late, as you may have seen through running your business, not everyone pays their invoices on time. So missing an invoice deadline won't make a vendor happy, but it does happen. And you can minimize the damage by catching up as quickly as possible. If you have any unsecured loans, when you miss the payment deadline on an unsecured loan, the lender could charge a penalty and interest, but they won't be able to seize your property. And on credit cards, missing payments on your business credit cards will also cost you in penalties and interest, but not your assets. If you catch up on the payment within 30 days, the credit card companies may not report the missed payment to the credit bureaus, which can help preserve your credit score. Insurance. This is key. This is where a lot of people make huge mistakes. Your insurance policies may have a grace period where your coverage stays in force for several weeks after you miss the payment deadline. If your policy does eventually lapse, you'll lose your insurance coverage, which is a risk, but you can sign up again once you have the money. Think about if you're in a business like a pizza business and you have delivery drivers and you miss your auto premium, your vehicle liability premium, whether you did it by accident, whether you did it because you didn't have the money, you have employees out on the road that are now driving your vehicles, regardless of who's at fault. Because it's registered to your business, you are now at fault. You're now liable. Make sure, especially on insurance, you treat that with a high priority. Other bills, professional dues, advertising, entertainment, subscriptions, and other miscellaneous expenses are all bills that you can miss or even cut back altogether when you don't have the cash flow. Payment solutions and strategies. Hit at least the minimum payments when possible. Now, you may not need to pay off your credit cards and loans in full each month. If you can make at least the minimum monthly payment, you'll owe interest, but you may avoid penalties and damage to your credit score. You want to pay off any high interest debt first. This is where you're going to want to start looking at credit cards and which ones charge what interest rate. As you start paying off your debt, concentrate on the accounts charging the highest interest rates first. For the others, consider just making the minimum monthly payment until the high interest debt has been paid off and then go to the next one. Use credit card benefits. Some business cards offer 0% introductory period for a year or longer when you sign up. You can use this benefit to pay off your existing debts and make further investments in your business, like covering your next employee retreat. and you have to consider a debt consolidation loan. If you're having trouble keeping track of all your bills, a debt consolidation loan could help simplify things. You pay off everything with a loan and then just have one monthly payment. The interest rate on the debt consolidation loan could be lower too as the lender tries to attract your business. Watch out for personal liability. Did you personally secure any of your business bills or debts? Missing these payments not only affects your company, it could also hurt your personal credit score. So consider this as you decide on which bills to pay. And of course, speak with your creditors. If you're about to miss a payment, reach out to your creditors and let them know you're having trouble with your deadlines. See what kind of payment solutions they may offer, like an extension of the deadline or a waiver of their penalty because it's your first time paying late. While they still won't be happy about the missed payment, the news will sit better if you warn them ahead of time. Learning how to prioritize bills is crucial for managing the swings of business cash flow. With this information, you can plan how to cover your bills with limited funds and get out of debt as soon as possible. So hopefully those are some things that will help you as you navigate running a business. There are times when cash is tight, and you may have to take some of these measures in order to make the payments on those bills. Another topic that's getting a lot of traction over the last month or two, particularly with the Society of Human Resource Managers, and after an experiment that was done in Japan and New Zealand, is the four-day work week. And I want to talk about that. That's going to be our lead story coming up after the break. Is the shorter work week for everyone? You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hello, this is Nicole Smith, host of Happy to Help. Would you like to discover the secret to happiness? I talk to volunteers, executive directors, fundraisers, and authors about how nonprofit engagement enriches their lives. We thrive when we have a sense of purpose in our lives. Philanthropy is the new community. Tune in to Happy to Help every Wednesday at 10 a.m. to discover how to find your purpose and live well by doing good.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Georgine Trinkle. I want to invite you to listen to Hunt and Hunterdon every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. You'll be treated to discussions on hot topics every week. Hunt and Hunterdon provides a more in-depth look at issues that are happening right now. You can catch the show live and call in on what matters to you. Make sure to download the podcast to catch up on all our hot topics.
This is Stedman Graham, and you're listening to Taking Care of Business with Jim Cano on Hunterdon ChamberRadio.com.
And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business.
Aw, you lucky dog, you. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. So glad you could join me as we head into the final 15 minutes of the program. So is the shorter work week for everyone? The Japan and New Zealand experiments have turned their attention to a four-day work week, which is getting a lot of traction here in the U.S. In August, Microsoft Japan experimented with a four-day work week for its 2,300 employees. They were given 5 Fridays off with no reduction in pay, and productivity rose by 40%. Last year, Perpetual Guardian, a New Zealand company that manages trust, wills, and estate planning, tried shorter work weeks, and about 250 employees worked 4 8-hour days each week, 2 months with no cut in pay. Company leaders saw such a marked increase in worker engagement and satisfaction with no drop in productivity that they decided this past October to adopt the abbreviated schedule full-time. 15% of all U.S. organizations offer 4-day work weeks of 32 hours or less to all employees for all or part of the year, according to a 2019 Employee Benefits Report by the Society of Human Resources Management. Some companies compress the standard 40 hours of work into 4 days, while others simply lop off 1 day and require 4 8-hour days, usually with no cut in pay. In fact, the 40-hour, 5-day work week is outdated, according to 70% of U.S. workers recently surveyed by the Workforce Institute at Kronos, Inc. Many workers feel they could get their work done in less than the typical time allotted. Nearly half, 45%, of the respondents said it would take them less than 5 hours a day to do their jobs if they were able to work uninterrupted. So nearly half of the workers said they could do their jobs in less than 5 hours each day if left uninterrupted. So here's the reasons that they're citing as the biggest time wasters. Fixing a problem that was caused by somebody else, 22%. Completing administrative tasks, 17%. Attending meetings, 12%. Checking and answering email, 11%. And dealing with customer issues, 11%. So how does working fewer days make employees more productive? Microsoft Japan leaders attributed the success of their 4-day work week experiment to a few things. Many meetings were eliminated or truncated, and employees, knowing they had to fit 5 days' worth of work into 4, became more economical and efficient with their time. By shortening the time when employees are at work, you're forcing them to hyper-prioritize and cut out low-value work and activities to be more efficient, said Joyce Maroney, the executive director at the Workforce Institute. That could range from shortening or canceling meetings altogether, similar to how Microsoft in Japan moved standard meeting times from 1 hour to 30 minutes, or spending less time on administrative work, checking emails, or perusing social media accounts. Now, cutting down on administrative work could lead to greater creativity, observed Judy Sigwal, who's the Associate Dean of Research and Faculty Development at East Carolina University's College of Business in Greenville, North Carolina. A shorter work week may yield health benefits, resulting in less stress, more time for exercise, happier relationships that could lead to higher productivity, she said. Shorter work weeks could also be a successful talent attraction strategy, Maroney said. With Japan's unemployment rate around 2.2%, it's highly likely this pilot program was launched in an effort to attract and retain talent. She said, you're telling your workers, hey, we trust you to get the job done. If workers feel respected and trusted, it's likely they'll be more dedicated and simply work harder. And short work weeks can benefit employers, said Julia Pollack, a labor economist at Employment Marketplace ZipRecruiter. First, reducing the number of days employees are in every week translates to a substantial reduction in operating costs, Pollack said. Shortening the work week can also lead to greater gender diversity in the workplace, as women candidates often choose industries that offer better hours and work-life balance. However, a shorter work week may not be for everyone. A shorter work week can be ideal for some jobs and industries, but not others, workplace experts say. It might work best, for instance, for employees whose projects have long lead times or don't require a lot of teamwork, said David Lewis, the president and CEO of Operations, Inc., a human resources outsourcing and consulting firm based in Norwalk, Connecticut. Typically, that means professionals and office workers. Where Sigwal works in Greenville, most dentists and veterinarians' offices are using a 4-day work week. Hence, any organization that requires and controls customer appointments might easily adopt a shorter work week, she said. But in the retail, restaurant, and hospitality industries, where many workers are paid by the hour and must respond to customers, a shortened work week could be tricky. Nor might it be ideal in manufacturing, where success is often measured by how much is produced each day, or for that matter, for teachers. Maroney noted an often cited experiment in a Swedish nursing home, which found that when nurses' shifts were reduced to 6 hours a day, the nurses were happier, better rested, and more productive. But the shorter work week also meant that the home had to hire several extra nurses. This experiment ended when government funding for it ran out. Customers may not like it as well. Even in places where a shorter work week might be possible, customers may not appreciate having to wait for service, Sigwal said. Customers' needs may not be met if the office is only open 4 days a week, she noted, and it's frustrating enough to have to wait across a 2-day weekend for a company to respond. Now this would expand it to a 3-day weekend. What would generate enough customer dissatisfaction that they would defect? In 2008, state government workers in Utah were allowed to cut back to working 4 days a week. Despite a rise in productivity and employee morale, taxpayers were annoyed that they couldn't get in touch with government offices on Fridays Eventually, Utah required state employees to return to the five-day work week. Key to making a four-day work week successful, experts said, is high-performing workers. If you move to a shortened work week, there will inevitably be times employees will need to put in longer hours to complete a project or best serve your customers. And your high performers will naturally be accountable to the company, themselves, their colleagues, and customers. So I think it's coming in certain industries. I think you're going to see more companies leaning towards the shortened work week, the four-day work week. Some businesses may get smart about it and actually do a shortened work week, but change the schedule around. So maybe one person works Monday through Thursday and another Tuesday through Friday, so that the business is open 5 days, but the staff isn't always there. Let's talk about marketing for just a second. You know, I love marketing your businesses, and if you're not doing it, you're losing money. So make sure that you are marketing. And sometimes just go back to the basics. Some of the lessons you learned in Marketing 101 can still be used today. So as we approach the end of the year, forecasters start predicting trends for the new year. And the beginning of the year always marks an influx of predictions of trends that will affect the marketing industry. Some of the more interesting trends I'm keeping an eye on in 2020 is artificial intelligence and data will play a major role in driving content. Chatbots will dominate customer service, with some estimating 80% of companies will be using them by 2021, and customers will continue to look for personalized content, whether they be through digital marketing or in-store. With the industry constantly evolving, it can seem difficult to pinpoint what really matters. It's important for marketing professionals to take a page from what they learned in Marketing 101. Stay on top and continue honing your skills. Much of what I learned in my first marketing class is still foundational to my career today. First, develop a plan. I mentioned this at the beginning of the show. Much like doing a class assignment, developing a marketing plan can help define your approach for your company. It can help you set goals, establish your audience, and define how your marketing efforts can support business objectives. It can also set up a framework to evaluate marketing trends to figure out which would work best for you. A well-researched marketing plan is the first step to making strong marketing decisions. You want to go beyond what you know. Now, it's easy to assume your audience is just like you, but that's not always the case. For example, instead of simply relying on my experience, I was taught to learn on the facts and do my research. I also rely on other data points, insights, and past work experience, and also reach out to peers. I still put my personal opinions into perspective, but I understand they are not always shared by everyone, and I don't try to incorporate that into my marketing plans. You want to back everything up with data. The practice of citing your sources in the educational setting translates to backing everything up with data and research in the professional setting. Data-driven marketing will be more important than ever in 2019. Analytics and insights are tools that help marketers segment and reach their audiences effectively, providing information they actually want and need. You also want to focus on teamwork. Group work was something that everyone dreaded but couldn't avoid in marketing courses. Looking back now, I realize that group projects were crucial in learning the importance of delegating work. For example, I rarely do the creative design. I rely on the expertise and knowledge of agencies that I work with and allow them to do their job, providing my thoughts once completed. Maintaining strong relationships with others and trusting their collective vision is vital to fulfilling a client's needs. Marketing is a discipline, and like anything else, it takes knowledge and practice to excel at. Being in this field and excelling at it takes constant learning in order to adapt to changes in the marketplace. For the next generation of marketers, as well as the marketers of today, the skills learned during marketing courses can help establish a foundation of skills that will help you for the entirety of your career. In sports, big news today. In NASCAR news, Kyle Busch won last week's Ford EcoBoost 400 in Miami, Florida, and the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Championship at the same time. In breaking news in NASCAR, seven-time champion Jimmy Johnson announced yesterday that the 2020 season will be his last as a full-time driver in the NASCAR Cup Series. In NCAA football, LSU sits atop the AP Top 25 poll, followed by Ohio State, Clemson, Georgia, and Alabama. Oregon, Utah, Oklahoma, Penn State, and Florida round out the top 10. Rutgers will play Michigan State Saturday at noon, and number 8 Penn State takes on number 2 Ohio State, also at noon. In the NFL, the Giants play the Bears Sunday at 1 p.m. The Eagles will play the Seahawks, and the Jets take on the Raiders. In NCAA men's basketball, Duke leads the AP Top 25 poll, followed by Louisville, Michigan State, Kansas, and North Carolina. Maryland, Virginia, Gonzaga, Kentucky, and Ohio State round out the top 10. The NHL and NBA seasons are underway. We'll start following that once we get past the All-Star break. Well, as always, it's been my pleasure joining you today, and I always end the show with some great advice I got from my father when I was just 6 years old that guides me in my personal and professional life every day. Maybe you can use it in your lives as well when he said, "Never let it rest until your good is better and your better is best." If you have upcoming ideas for upcoming topics or guests, email me at trophyjim@yahoo.com, or you can connect with me on LinkedIn, on Twitter at JimGaneau83, or on Facebook on the show's page, Taking Care of Business with Jim Ganeau. For more information about me and my businesses, visit www.jimganeau.com. I am Jim Ganeau, and I'm taking care of business. Make it a productive week, everybody.
Taking care of business every day. Taking care of business.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
The House Intelligence Committee is continuing to hear publicly from former National Security Council official Fiona Hill and David Holmes with the State Department.
This is exactly what the Russian government was hoping for. If they seed misinformation, they seed doubt. They have everybody questioning the legitimacy of a presidential candidate, be it President Trump or potentially a President Clinton, that they would pit one side of our electorate against the other, that they would pit one party against the other. And that's why I wanted to make such a strong point at the very beginning.
Fiona Hill speaking there. This as President Trump is hosting a White House lunch with two Republican senators who could be on the fence regarding impeachment. Utah's Mitt Romney and Maine's Susan Collins are joining the president and other Republicans at the lunch. Both have been somewhat critical of the president. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Hello, this is Wayne Allen Root, relentless conservative warrior, middle-class warrior, and always Trump warrior. I have a message for my fellow patriots across America. President Trump is making America great again. He's the only president of my lifetime who is keeping his promises, and his biggest promise is to build that wall. President Trump can only do it with our help. If Congress won't fund Trump's wall, we will. President Trump is one man against the world, and what globalists and socialists around the world want is clear, open borders. It's time to take a stand. We either build the wall, or it's the end of the greatest nation of world history ever blessed by God. That's why I founded the Root for the Wall PAC. 63 million Trump voters together will raise the money President Trump needs for the wall. Anyone who donates $100 or more will get a beautiful commemorative wall brick. Display it proudly. Call 844-ROOT-WALL. That's toll free, 844-ROOT-WALL, or go to rootwall.com. We will build this wall together. Call 844-ROOT-WALL or go to rootwall.com. Root for the Wall PAC. Paid for and responsible for the content of this message. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. Rootwall.com.
A winter storm could be a headache for travelers, as we hear from USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes.
A large winter storm in the central U.S. could tie up traffic before Thanksgiving. Snow, rain, and other wintry conditions are likely next Tuesday and Wednesday from New Mexico to Michigan. Forecasters warning a treacherous road situation and also flight delays will be likely for holiday travelers because of the weather.
Power ended up remaining on in California's Sierra foothills days after PG&E warned that it may be shut off. The utility had warned tens of thousands of people that they would lose power, but those shutoffs never ended up happening because weather conditions improved. PG&E President Andy Vasey.
We also understand just being notified that you may be is problematic because you'll act accordingly. And the feeling that you'll get when you find that you're not losing power may not be relief. It may be additional frustration.
And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Friends and family, I've told you about the great sleep I get with my MyPillow every night. Well, right now, you can get a great deal and extra safety because if you go to MyPillow.com, click on the Radio Listener Special, get their buy one, get one free offer on the MyPillow Premium Pillow. Your 60-day money-back guarantee goes all the way through March 1st, 2020. That's now through December 25th. When you go to MyPillow.com, click on the Radio Listener Special and use my promo code USA.
Democratic presidential hopefuls debated in Atlanta on Wednesday night. USA Radio Network's Wendy King has some of the highlights.
Mayor Pete Buttigieg.
I'm not only running to defeat Donald Trump, I am running to prepare for the day that begins when Donald Trump has left office, to launch the era that must come after Trump. That era must be characterized not by exclusion, but by belonging.
Tulsi Gabbard.
Let's defeat the divisiveness of Donald Trump. Come together and usher in a 21st century of racial harmony, of racial justice, peace, inclusion, and true equality. Working side by side, let's make Dr. King's dream our reality.